today's scripture reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 18 through 21, and then also 25 through 29. If you have your Bibles, then please do turn to it and leave it open before you as the message is being preached. If you don't have your Bibles, then please do follow along with the PowerPoint. Listen now to the word of God. Then once again, I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water because of all the sin you had committed. Doing what was evil in the Lord's sight and so arousing his anger, I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again, the Lord listened to me. And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. But at that time, I prayed for Aaron too. Also, I took that sinful thing of yours, the calf you made, and burned it in the fire. Then I crushed it and ground it to powder as fine as dust and threw the dust into a stream that flowed down the mountain. Verse 25, I lay prostrate before the Lord those 40 days and 40 nights because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, Sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people, your own inheritance that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Overlook the stubbornness of this people, their wickedness, and their sin. Otherwise, the country from which you brought us will say, because the Lord was not able to take them into the land he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to put them to death in the wilderness. But they are your people, your inheritance, that you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's message is titled, The Three P's, Fall Prostrate, Pray for the People. I know it's not as clean as, it's not as clean a title as I wanted it to be, but nevertheless, that is the title of this message, The Three P's, Fall Prostrate, Pray for the People. In Deuteronomy 9, we find a situation in which Moses is addressing the people of Israel, and he is talking to them about some of their history. He's discussing with them some of the times that, you know, they had fallen away from God. And he's reminding them, you know, there were moments in which God's anger, in which God's wrath was about to be poured out. Not on a whim, not because God is an angry God, but because the people had so disobeyed. They had gone so far. They had strayed so far from the word of God and from the things that God had commanded and the things that God had asked of them, that it reached a point where God looked at them and said, do you want me to be your God? Do you want to be my people? Because the way you're living, the way you're acting, the things that you are doing are telling me that you do not want to be my people. The offenses that the people of Israel did against God were very extreme, were very harsh. It was a true sign of disrespect to God. And it was their way of saying, you know what? We choose other things. You know what? You may have delivered us from Egypt. You may have walked with us in the wilderness. You may have done great things. You may have given us water when we were thirsty. You may have protected us from the venomous snakes and the scorpions. You may have fed us with manna from heaven. You may have led us by your presence. But now that we feel alone, now that we are without Moses for a long period of time, you know, we need something. We need to see something. We need to be able to touch something. We need to be able to worship and bow down before something. And what was that something? The people came to Aaron and they pressured him. And Aaron relented and he took their gold. They melted it down and they made a golden calf. And it was an offense against God that said, you no longer, your words your commands, the things that you desire of us no longer matter to us. We will do what we need to do. We will live as we need to live so that we feel comforted. Your usefulness, the things that you've done for us, we look past that now, and we are in search of something else. It was something that God could not stand. It was something that God would not stand. God is not a God that allows for other gods to exist in your life. One of the Bible studies in Sunday school, they're discussing some of the qualities and the attributes of God. Who is God? And one of the things that they discussed is, you know, God is a jealous God. And maybe that comes off, you know, sometimes with that kind of translation or when you think about the word jealous, it comes off as almost petty. But it's not meant in that sense. It's in that God cares. He cares about who is God in your life. It matters to him how you feel in your heart. He's not a God that will allow for you to serve other gods. It's part of his character, it's part of who he is, but it's also because he knows what is good for you and what is best for you. And so he will be jealous for his people. And in this such instance, they committed a grave offense. And after all that God had done for them, they turned their backs on God. And they said, you know, we are going to do exactly what you asked us not to do. We are going to do what people around us do. We are going to do whatever it takes to make us feel comforted. They needed presence. And the danger of having Moses as their leader was perhaps Moses was becoming that presence for them. He was becoming the representation of God to them. They felt comforted when Moses was around. And since they couldn't see Moses, and because Moses was with God for a long period of time, they thought, we need something. It probably revealed the hearts of the Israelites. It probably revealed that, you know, that's where their minds were. They would have done something like that anyway. But we know that the Lord's anger burned against them. They sinned. They messed up. That's not debatable. According to the word of the Lord and according to his commands and the things that he asked of his people, they had clearly trespassed. They had clearly done an offense against God. It was not up for debate. And yet when it came time for the judgment, to pay up for that sin, you know, they didn't have the temple. It's not like they could have sacrificed, you know, some animals to appease God's anger. What could have happened? And if you consider this, there are only two ways that this could have ended. God could have poured out his wrath, and the people would no longer be a people. And they would no longer be God's people. It would just end there. The relationship is over. And it's not out of God's doing. God, as a just God, would just be doing what the people deserved, what they asked for. But I want to remind you today of the role that Moses played. Moses was a great leader, yes. Moses did great things for the Israelite people, yes. He was heroic when he needed to be heroic. He was courageous when he needed to be courageous. He overcame some of his own personality. He overcame some of his own shortcomings, and he rose up to become a great leader for the people. Yes, that's true. But the quality of Moses that I want to highlight today is one that I'm going to suggest needs to be a part of each and every one of our lives. And as you think about it, and as you consider it, I want you to consider, is this something that has been a part of my faith life? Is this something that's been a part of my prayer life? And if it hasn't, then I'm going to suggest to you and ask you today, why not? Why hasn't it been? Moses was not around when the offense occurred. He was with God. He was meeting with God. He was receiving the law. He was receiving the tablets. You know, it happened under his watch, but he wasn't a part of this. And yet, when God's wrath and his anger was apparent, Moses tells the people, this is what I did. I fell prostrate before the Lord. For 40 days and 40 nights, I ate no bread and I drank no water. I want you to consider that for a second. Now, sometimes we run the risk when we read Bible stories and when we read Bible passages of like kind of glossing over things that we've heard before or that sound like Bible words, you know, words that sound like Old Testament speak, right? So sometimes when you hear these 40 days and 40 nights, and it doesn't really register sometimes. I want you to consider something. This man, as the representative of the people, this man as the leader, this man who held himself responsible for the people, you know, this man who once said, send someone else. I can't do this. I don't have what it takes to be a leader. This man, you know what he did? He fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted. I ate no bread and drank no water. Obviously, that's very difficult for us to do. But what I'm talking about is the posture. What I'm talking about is the sheer effort. What I'm thinking about is, and what I'm trying to suggest to you, is that it was so serious to Moses that it took a toll on him and he paid a price. He didn't just say, okay, you know, let me just pray for them. You know, I wasn't really there, God. You know, I don't know what my brother Aaron was up to, but can you excuse me at least? You know, let's talk about my individual relationship with you. You know, how am I doing, God? Am I growing? Am I a good leader? Am I improving as, you know, someone that you called? Moses' heart breaks for the people. And he falls prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He fell down before the Lord. Face down into the ground, ate no bread and drank no water, and he prayed. He prayed for the people. This was not a sin that he had committed. This was not personal or individual sin. It was community sin. The people had sinned. But as the one who is close to God, as the leader, as the one who had been with God, as the one who had God's ear, he fell down before the Lord and he prayed, God, don't do this. God, please. And it wasn't just some fleeting prayer before you eat a meal. It wasn't some prayer that was kind of pushed onto him by someone leading a prayer meeting. Hey, folks, let's pray for the community. Hey, folks, let's pray for the world. Hey, folks, let's... He put his heart, he put his soul, he put his strength into this time. That's how much it mattered to him. He fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted. Do you know how weak he must have been after that time? Do you know how much effort that must have taken? Do you think he wanted to? You think someone chooses to do something that way? You think he goes, oh, you know, today I'm just going to fall down prostrate for 40 days and 40 nights because it's good for my back, because it's good for exercise. You know, you think this was something that he chose for himself? He did it because he was a leader. He did it because he cared about the people. He did it because he cared about the people's relationship with God. I want you to look at the world around us. I want you to consider the people in the world of faith and the leaders of faith in the world around us. Do you see them putting that effort in? Are you putting that effort in? When I look around the world today, we see broken people. We see sin. We see people building golden calves. We see people worshiping golden calves. We see idolatry everywhere. We see people forsaking the Lord and going away from Him. When's the last time it took any effort on your part to pray for them? When's the last time you prayed for someone so much that it hurt you? That it took something out of you? That it left you weak? When's the last time you sweat? When's the last time you cried and you poured yourself out for the generation of people? You know what's so embarrassing? Our prayer lives, we think about ourselves. We think maybe about our immediate family. We think about our children. We think about our students. We think about our church maybe. You know, we think about things that we need. We think about things that we ask for. We have petitions, and those are all good things. But when's the last time you prayed with such effort that it took a toll on you? That's what it took Moses. That's the price that Moses paid as God's representative, as God's person, as God's leader. But you know what? God heard that prayer. The Lord listened to me. And the Lord was angry enough to destroy Aaron, who was the leader at the time, who was the representative at the time. But I prayed for Aaron too. This is what a leader does. And sometimes it takes something out of you. Sometimes it costs something. Sometimes it requires you to get into the posture of being prostrate before the Lord. I'm not telling you to do it for 40 days and 40 nights. That's, you know. But what I want to remind you of is the sheer effort and the sheer dedication that Moses showed as the leader of the people. But that prayer moved God's heart. God, who was angry enough to unleash his wrath upon the people, relented as he listened to Moses plead for the people. When's the last time you contended for this generation? When is the last time you fasted for this generation? You see some of the things that are going on? When's the last time you cried and prayed for the leaders of this country? Have you been falling prostrate in prayer? You know, sometimes my prayer life is so much about myself. I only talk about myself. I pray to God and everything I say has to do with me and what I want. And then when I'm feeling a little less selfish, I think about what other people around me may want. So I pray for the needs of my immediate contacts, my friends, my family, and my church members. You know, and somehow I think, yeah, that's enough. That's good enough. God, that's what you're getting today. That's my prayer today. That's good enough, okay? At least I spent a, you know, 2-to-1 ratio praying for other people and then praying for what I want. Moses prayed for the people. He fell prostrate before the Lord. He prayed for the people. It's one of the qualities that goes a little bit unspoken about Moses. When you see the picture of Moses, he's always standing in front of the Red Sea, you know, with his arms raised, with a staff in his hand. He's like, you know, he's doing all these heroic and courageous and amazing things. You know what I want us to see? I want us to see the Moses that's bent and fallen over on his knees, praying and begging to God for the people. You know, we all want to see the leader that's standing in front of, you know, the masses of people holding a great staff, leading the charge, telling people, yes, this is the way, this is what we should do. The charismatic, powerful leader. And the image that I want us to see, the image that the Word of God gives us today, is that leader down on his knees, face down on the ground, for 40 days and 40 nights praying for the people. We don't need any more people to stand up and shout louder than other people. We don't need the leaders that get in front and need some kind of influence and audience to really engage and to feel like they're doing something. No, we need people that are behind the scenes, prostrate before the Lord, praying to God for the people. Can you imagine what families would be like if you even prayed for your families this way? What our churches would be like? And we extend that to the world. We extend that to the people. If you look around you today and you don't see brokenness, you don't see division, you don't see violence, you don't see injustice, then probably you are blind. It's everywhere. We're living in such a broken world. And there are days where I feel like it's getting worse. And what are we supposed to do as people? We just sit back and go, oh yeah, you know, it's their evil. It's their problem. As long as I work on my relationship with God, as long as my individual relationship with God is going good, then let's, you know, we can shut off the noise of the outside world. That's not how it works. We were made to be a community. We were made to be a people. We were made to be a generation. It's not just about you and how close you are with God. The Bible doesn't really promote that. It has to do with society. It has to do with community. It has to do with leaders that are willing to step up and put themselves on the line to pray for people, to prostrate themselves, to pour out their energy and their tears and their hearts, to lose their voices in prayer. Not for his individual sin. Not so that he's, you know, favored by God or he's on the right page with God. He says, no, for your sins. Because of the sins that you had committed. I lay prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't eat, I didn't drink because of the sins you had committed. Now, I don't want you to say, oh, you know, Pastor Eden, you know, you're taking too much emphasis off of my individual relationship with God. Of course, that's important. You have to pray for yourself. You should repent for your sins. You know, who's going to repent for your sins if you don't repent for your sins? Obviously, it is important to maintain and foster a close personal relationship with God. And I promote that. I encourage that all the time. But take the people with you. Let the people see. Pray for the people. Moses feared the anger and the wrath of God, not upon himself, but for the people. He didn't commit that offense. And I know that as the leader, he bore some of the responsibility. I know that as the leader, he felt responsible. But he is not the one that built the calf. He is not the one that grumbled about coming out of Egypt. Those were the offenses that the people did. But Moses lay prostrate before the Lord. 40 days, 40 nights. And he prayed, do not destroy your people. He reminded God, they are your people. You created them. You called them. You brought them here. You brought them with your hand into your land. Lord, have mercy upon them. It's basically what Moses prayed. Now, what I want to suggest to you, will we not also take a page out of Moses' book? Learn from him. What made him a great leader? He cared for the people. He had compassion on the people. He didn't say, God, hey man, I was with you. He didn't say, hey God, they're your people, you deal with it. Put himself on the line. He paid a price. And he felt responsible. He felt like he had some sort of accountability. These are my people too. And he prayed. tremendous effort, a tremendous posture. Prostrate before the Lord, humbling himself, begging, pleading. I wonder now about the state of the church, the condition of the church, the health of the church, not just our church, but as a whole. And I wonder if a lot of our westernized thinking about individualism, about personal relationships, you know, that's not your business, that's not, you know, that's between me and God, that sort of stuff, it affects the way that we pray to God about the world around us. When is the last time you prayed for a stranger and it hurt? When is the last time you felt desperation in your prayer for people across the country, around the world? Not just your child, not just a youth group student, not just a spouse or family member. But when's the last time you felt responsible for people you've not met, for strangers who are suffering, for people who have not found faith in God yet, for people who are struggling through poverty, who are struggling through injustice, who are struggling still with the coronavirus illness and sickness, who are struggling mentally, emotionally? And when's the last time that prayer took something from you? When's the last time it required you to put your energy and your heart behind it? That you felt a sense of loss because of the prayer that you prayed? These days we can't be bothered. It's all about comfort. It's all about, you know, do what you are comfortable with doing. You think Moses wanted to fall prostrate? And it's not just about the action. It's not me telling you to change your behavior. It's because those actions reveal your heart. It reveals what's deep down inside. It reveals who you think God is. It reveals whether you think you're God or whether you really think God is God. It reveals whether you think God can do something about this world or whether you think he's just a powerless bystander. The way you pray, the attitude that you have, the way that you fall prostrate before God, it's revealing who you believe God to be. And it shows through your action. And so I'm not telling you, hey, do this, do that, do this. This is the three-step plan towards powerful prayer. That's nonsense. What I'm asking you is, who is God in your heart? When you think about God and when you view God, when you look at the world and the relationship between God and the world, who do you see God as God? Do you see him as a powerful God? Do you see him as a sovereign God? Do you see him as a good God, a merciful God who's willing to make change in this world? Or do you see him as just kind of there to bless your life, to give you good things, and to make sure that your family is safe? And let's consider for a second that maybe as the people of God, we haven't been praying the right way, and we haven't been praying with the right hearts, and we haven't been praying with the right posture. Now, I'm not telling you you need to physically and literally fall prostrate before God, but I'm asking you in your heart. I'm asking you in your attitude. I'm asking you in your approach to God. I'm asking you in the way that the baseline of your prayer life with God, does it have the right foundation? Does it start in the right place? And are you praying for the people? Do you pray for them with the same intensity that you pray for yourself? Or are they just an afterthought because it makes your prayer sound more even? It makes your prayer sound more rounded. It makes it seem like, hey, you know, I do care about things. Sometimes prayer costs you something. Moses fasted. Moses fell prostrate, literally. In the Bible, he literally fell prostrate on the ground. He prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm not promoting religious behavior. I'm not promoting some kind of, you know, radical, you know, steps to take in your prayer life, but I'm asking you to evaluate your heart. And I'm asking you to think about the world and see if the world matters to you. Would you pray the way that Moses prayed? For your neighborhood? You know, for your state, for your country? To not just sit and criticize others, to not just sit and look at people and see them as the other, and to say, hey, they deserve what they get because they're sinners. Have you prayed with this sort of intensity for communities and people groups that you do not agree with? Maybe they are in need of forgiveness. Maybe they are in need of God's mercy. Have you prayed for them, or did you just say, hey, they deserve what they get because they're sinners? That community, they deserve everything that comes to them. Have you fallen prostrate before the Lord praying for people that are different from you? And obviously Moses is not God. Moses is not Jesus. He was an imperfect person. He was also a broken person. He was also a sinful person. But he was able to do this. As the leader of the people, he fell prostrate, prayed for them. We can do it. We can be this way. And if we do, if we are, then maybe the generation will change around us. Maybe if people of God start crying out and contending for this generation, maybe if this generation of people fall prostrate before God and start praying for the people, maybe something will change. Examine your hearts, examine yourselves. Catch yourself in your prayer life. Don't just utter the same words over and over again because it's a formula that you've heard and learned. Speak real words to a real God, and he will really listen to you. You are God's people. You are God's children. You have his ear. He made it a point. He sent his son so that you can have access to him, so that you can call him Father. He listens to you. We can't just stay silent. We can't just let people waste away. We can't just allow the anger and the wrath of God to be poured out because we think they deserve it. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to fall prostrate. And we are supposed to contend for the people. I hope that's a lesson that we learn, each and every one of us. And as we consider the picture of Moses on his knees, face down in the ground, may that be the posture that we have as we approach God in prayer through this Lent season, but also in our lives. Take this word seriously, lock it in your heart, and I hope that it has an effect on your prayer life. I hope that it has an effect in your relationship with God. You have his ear. I hope that you speak and pray the right things. Let's take a moment of time in prayer together. And you know, a lot of times our prayer and our reflection has to do with who we are, what we've done, and you know, the things that we need and the things that we desire. But I'm going to invite you into a time in which we take this time to pray for our communities, to pray for our country, to pray for our world. And make it count. At least in our posture, let's fall prostrate before the Lord. Let's beg, let's plead, let's cry out. These are words that are often used in conjunction with prayer. And let's really pray for the people. Would you join me in a time of reflection and prayer? asking for grace, asking for blessing for them. The communities that are broken, and you know, there's so many things that make us want to divide, that make us want to stand apart, to see other people as different. But Lord, you call us to be a people, you call us to be a community, you call us to be your body. And when's the last time that I put my body on the line? When's the last time I put myself on the line, and my energy, my voice, my throat, my cries, my sweat, my tears? When's the last time they were poured out for people around me, for communities around me? Just pray, oh Lord, that as we seek you, we would have this posture and this heart. God, as your people, we fall prostrate before you. We pray to you, knowing you hear us. And we pray for the people. And may we continue to do so in our lives. And may it become an essential part of our prayer lives. May we take this responsibility seriously. Help us, God. Give us the words to speak and the words to pray. And help us, Lord, to contend for this generation, to fight for it, to pray for it, to put our sweat and our tears behind our prayers. We thank you, God. You are Almighty God. You are Sovereign God. But you are also a God who listens to our little prayers. And you listen to our little voices. And so, Lord, may we speak and say the things that would make a difference for this community, this country, this world, this generation. We thank you, God. We trust in the work that you are doing in this world and all this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.